teachers at a district in Texas are under fire for giving elementary kids special stickers, quote, stickers.
Kids love stickers.
At nap time, and they're believed to be sleep aids. Whoops. Here's the news story.
As young as 4 and 5, telling their parents they got special stickers at school. One mom shared a photo with us. Turns out it's a patch that releases substances to help people sleep. ABC 13's Alex Bazarjian spoke to parents outside Northgate.
What's
crossing
wrong with this woman?
Bazarjian?
Wow.
ABC 13's Alex Bazarjian.
Wow.
Slow down.
Seriously.
She needs a sleep sticker.
Put a patch in your forehead.
Right on her forehead.
Copy?
Wow. Yeah.
The district admits they dropped the ball on this and failed to notify parents until 2 weeks after the use of the sleeping patch was first reported. Some were so upset they showed up to the school today to confront administrators. And others telling me they reported this to Child Protective Services and even brought their children to the ER to get checked out.
Oh, boy.
It's, wow. Yeah, it's a bit extreme, but.
Oh. Yeah, but those kids feel sick like that.
Yeah.
Some parents are like, where can I buy these?
The airline should have these.
Yes. Absolutely. Kids freaking out? Here. Kids love stickers. Put the sticker on.
Right. Adults, too.
I was thinking for adults.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need it for the adults.
Right. Everyone needs a sticker at some point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone needs a sticker.
Everyone needs a sticker.
Come up here, have a complimentary soda, and as they're going back to their chair, you just like, you know, as you pat their back or whatever, just right on the back of their neck.
Like the kick me thing.
They won't even know.
Yep.
Nice. Here, I'll play you someone who needed a sticker earlier today.
Here, right now, and I put Spam in front of you and Dinty Moore beef stew.
Sticker
you
right
would
on
have
me.
The beef stew. Don't give me this. Stop. Don't eat. Don't. You're just don't. Don't
beef
eat.
Stew is like dog food.
What? Have you ever opened a can of Dinty Moore beef stew? Have you?
Yes.
In your life?
Disgusting.
Yeah. When?
It's disgusting.
When?
She says.
When? When?
I think I want the blow dart version on that one.
Yeah, you're right. There's more than a sticker here.
Yes.
That's not going to be fast enough.
Or two stickers.
The damage will already be done.
Two stickers. You get in the front, I'll get in the back. Right. Go.
You need one of those white cloths to...
Right, here's...
Good night, rabbit.
This rag.
We're going to have to call her Michelle and Spamden now.
All right, is there more to this?
Yeah.
It's not out of the ordinary for Lisa Luviano's daughter to come home from school with something to show. On September 24th, it was this sticker with a Starry Night-like design.
She said, it's a sleeping sticker. And I asked her, where do you get this? She's like, well, my teacher gives it to me for sleeping time.
Luviano says her daughter then claimed other classmates get it too.
The next day we went up to the school, we bought the evidence up there. We filed a report. We did say we wanted to file criminal charges if this is something that's true.
No.
I mean, it worked.
Criminal charges.
Right. Maybe just tell them don't do it anymore.
Criminal charges.
You can't just give drugs to kids.
Here, have this brownie instead.
You can't do that.
Criminal charges.
This brownie making me sleepy.
Criminal. Have you been with your kids for long periods of time?
Seriously, you see them acting.
All right, times that by 20.
Right. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be begging for those stickers.
You'd be
spraying the kids down with the stuff on the book.
Yeah, I think every parent should have to sit in a classroom for, you know, like a week and just watch what happens and be like, okay, you know what? Whatever, do what you need to do.
Where do you buy these stickers?
Yeah. Stickers for everyone.
Look, honey, I got stickers. We have company coming over. Sticker. Yeah.
Yep.
Criminal charges.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. The daycare won't put diaper cream on my son unless we sign a whole bunch of paperwork saying it's okay.
Really?
Yeah. No, they don't mess around with the drugs or the medication.
So. Wow.
So no sticker?
Yeah, you know, you got allergic reactions and all that stuff
right. Yeah.
Forget it.
Criminal charges.
Well, what was a sticker?
Yeah.
What was like SpongeBob? It'd be cooler.
Well, that's the thing. We make these teachers criminals.
Yeah.
Okay, you made a mistake.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
You tried something. You tried something. Trial and error. All right? We can't do the stickers.
You know, I don't know how these teachers do it. Like, if I were in one of these classes,
right?
You know, I would just walk out and lock the door and be like,
right.
just good, fine.
Good.
Who wants a Tylenol PM chewy?
You want to be crazy and loud?
Right.
Good. Okay. Here you go.
Well, I guess these gummies are going to work
just
now.
Just be stuck in here for a whole day with no food. How's
right,
that?
Right. How about these Grateful Dead gummies?
Look, I want the red one.
Choo-choo. Thump.
Yeah. Wow.
See, Phil doesn't think this is funny because he has a baby now, but
right.
before he had a baby, it
right.
was hysterical.
He'd be all over
I
this.
Fully believe they used to leave the heat on like well into like June. I'm like, why are we getting heat? I think that was the whole plan. It was just, yeah, we're just going to tire you out.
Right.
And by third period, you're just going to be sitting there like a drugged calf.
Oh, they loved us after lunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lunch and some heat, or
but then
the sun
why
coming
can't we
the windows?
Eat in class? Then let me eat. Like clearly, it helps calm us all down. What was the whole rule?
Indoor recess. We had to do that.
Anyone who had us in the afternoon, they're like, "This is great." So
yeah.
they ran around for recess.
Yep.
They ate.
Yes.
And now the sun's beating through the window. Let's turn the lights off and have like little nappy time. And we put our heads down on the desk.
Right.
Like, this is great.
Teacher, bring out that special bottle on her desk.
Michelle and Hamden.
I like Spam.
Spam. Spam, we have number one on the list.
Number one?
Oh, get off the phone.
Stop.
If you were here right now and I put Spam in front of you and Dinty Moore beef stew, you would have the beef stew. Don't give me this. Stop. Don't eat. You're just... Don't eat.
Stew is like dog food.
You're not gonna,
like
you're not,
dog food.
What? Have you ever opened a can of Dinty Moore beef stew? Have you?
Yes.
In your life? Yeah. When?
Yes.
When?
September 20th, 1989? I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, okay. Right. Never.
Turn right to date
Never.
Down.
Never.
All right, this is the showdown between Dinty Moore, beef stew, and Spam. And by the way, we missed the money shot here.
Oh, my God, it's so funny.
Was it Spam
yes.
when she gagged?
She was trying to get the Spam
Did
out.
I not say this yesterday? When you open a can of Spam, you're like, well, all right, who took their shoes off?
Well, no, she did say, but the Dinty Moore smells like dog food. She did say that.
Okay.
But when she was, the funny part was she was trying to get the Spam out.
All right, Ruth is vegan.
Right. It wouldn't come out.
It's gross.
It wouldn't come out because it's vacuum sealed.
It's gross.
It's vacuum sealed. So she's shaking the hell out of it, and all of a sudden it just popped out.
Yeah, but I'm watching her go like this.
And it, but the funny part.
That was really the video.
The meat bounced, and she caught it. It almost went off the side. She caught it.
It bounced.
It took a bad hop.
What a terrific start.
It was about to go over the foul line, but she caught it.
Oh, jeez.
What a terrific start.
Oh. I've never seen someone catch meat like that before.
It's like the flubber from The Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
Right?
Dan Brown is in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
The best part was the look on her face when she caught me and she had the touch. She's like,
ah.
Okay. She touched the corpse. It was awesome.
All right. Can we take... No, just look.
Okay.
Look at the difference between these two.
I'm waiting for my portion. I'll take a look.
One looks like pink death.
Right?
Okay. That's not even meat. It looks like something that was grown in a tube.
I don't want to tell you what the beef stew looks like. If you go to bars later
night. All right. So we're going to try it cold, and then we're going to try it warm.
Yeah.
Okay?
That part's going to be tough.
Oh, I'm getting one, too. Nice!
Yeah.
We're doing beef stew first? Or
Which one do you want to do first?
That's up to you.
Let's do
Spam. Flip a coin.
I feel like the beef stew's not coming off my tongue. So we got to start with the Spam.
All right, start with Spam. Right. Okay.
Yes.
I smelled the Spam first. Now I'm detecting notes of sodium and sadness.
Yes. Definitely sodium. Comes through strong.
It's Spam. It's spiced ham.
Yeah.
Your mom used to give you this. You know,
no. My mom liked me.
I used to have spiced ham sandwiches all the time. She'd buy pounds of it.
You can cut through it very easily with a plastic fork. I'll say that.
That and olive loaf, yeah.
This is a foot. Smell it. It's a foot. That's a foot right there.
That's
let me put this up against the
not
phone.
Any feet I've ever
it's
smelled.
A foot!
Now it's
very greasy and slimy.
Ugh.
I'll give you the color is off-putting.
Spit it out.
Mmm.
It's like gelatinized fat.
Oh.
It's not bad.
That's so gross.
That's good.
It is not bad.
Yeah.
Gross.
Good it's fine.
Shot from the mountaintops over here. Nice.
I would prefer it to be a little crispy.
What's that your
the soft texture is off-putting.
It's like ham-flavored pudding.
Yeah. I like it.
Billy?
It's not bad.
Wow.
Billy.
We might have to have like a bathroom break in the middle of the show.
Billy, you're on the...
Jesus.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, Jesus. Billy.
Go.
Go ahead,
Billy. All right. So if I'm eating it cold out of the can, I did a lot of this in Afghanistan. Dinty Moore is better out of the can. But if I'm heating it up and cooking it, Spam all day.
Really?
Fry it up crispy. Oh, yeah. I make
when you
spam
taste
and
fry,
rice.
Big difference.
Spam and eggs with rice, like Hawaiian style. Oh, my God, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, no worries, bro.
I mean, even just with eggs, some fried eggs on the side, like you have bacon.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, so, you know what? If you put a pizza next to the Dinty Moore, that would also be good.
I mean, listen. If it's heated up, I mean, Dinty Moore does taste like dog food.
You almost wore spam.
It does not taste like dog food.
Mm, it tastes like...
I haven't tasted it yet, so yes. I can't say
AJ,
that.
Yes.
We'll get dog food if you want to call this dog food.
I've eaten dog food.
Spam's better.
You fed me dog food before and cat food.
Oh, sorry.
I thought he was going to say, Wednesday night is dog food night at my house.
Right. Billy, thanks for calling. That's thanks horrible. For your service, brother.
Tell my hair stands.
Thanks,
shiny.
Brother.
The sauce in the beef stew is very dark brown. And it looks like they try to put flecks of something in there to like give it like a green, but it's just brown.
I don't have any carrots in mine, but there's normally some carrots.
I have all carrots.
I have a carrot. I have a lot of potatoes.
Yeah,
and I think this is meat.
I got some what is supposed to be meat. Right. I'm potatoes.
I'm afraid of the meat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same consistency of a meatball from spaghetti.
100%.
Yes.
Give me this. Every day over this, whatever this is.
Have you tried yet, Phil?
This pink spam.
I'm going to serve with a potato.
Okay. I'm going the full hog here.
My cup runneth over with carrots.
I need a meat and a piece of potato.
And I got to tell you, this Dinty Moore beef stew, when you warm this up, it's going to be even better.
Oh, everything's better warmed up.
I would bring this camping all the time.
Right.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I was not prepared for how soft the carrot is.
Bad. That sounded bad.
I want carrots to be soft. I don't want them hard.
Yeah.
I want some texture.
All right, here we go. Let me try it.
Oh, my God. That was delicious. I can't wait to have some more.
You can have mine. Yeah, there it is. The sauce coats your mouth. It's whatever the brown gravy
that's
is.
Right. It's very
not,
good.
It's not terrible. I do taste more of the can than the actual food.
Yes, I get a lot of can.
A lot of meat, a lot of metallic
taste.
There's
tasting. No can in there.
Right?
It's like when you drink like a whiskey. Oh, it's got oak. But the can adds character.
The can.
I bet you a dog would smell this spam and then vomit.
Hopefully it wasn't like struck by lightning or something like botulism.
All right, I didn't eat the meat. I got to try the meat.
Otherwise, no one's going to show tomorrow.
Oh, also softer than I thought it was going to be.
Well, what'd you think it was going to be? Like,
there's no chew to it. It just like falls apart immediately.
He prefers a harder meat in his mouth.
Oh, yeah. And the ham. Boy, the texture on that was really good.
No, I said it's off-putting. I want the crunchy bit.
Chaz and AJ.
Ugh. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
It's like sawdust.
My father was in World War II, and when I was a kid, he used to tell me a story that they would cut the spam really, really thin, lay it out, let it dry out, then they would draw numbers on it and use them as playing cards.
Nice.
That's how good spam is.
I love that ingenuity. I love it.
That was it.
Have a good day, guys.
You too.
Thank you. That's the show promo. All right, Roman is on live from Florida. Where are you?
Hey, what's up? Good morning. I am in Manatee County, which is, I took the eye. The eye came right over me. It was interesting. So I'm in Parrish, Florida. It's east of I-75 in Manatee County.
Okay. When so you I'm say, on, you said it was interesting that the eye came over you. What does that mean? Scary? Not scary?
No, so everybody talks about the eye of the storm, and what I saw too is as it came through, the eye got bigger. I guess that's a good, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but the eye is the calm of the storm. So everyone talks about when you walk out into the eye, there's nothing going on. The eye came through, I think it was like 12 o'clock or something like that. I went outside. Went outside, and it was there was no wind, no rain, nothing. It was completely calm.
Still, yep.
I started walking around and just assessing some damage, saw fences, this and that, and pulled out the generator, fired that up, got the house, charged some stuff up. It was a good 30 minutes of complete calmness, nothing. And then I'm watching this thing move, and, you know, here comes the band, and I packed everything back inside, and then here comes round two of more of just wind. The rain never came on the backside of it, just wind, but it did a number over here. You know, again, I'm like 15, 20 miles off the coast of the Gulf where Longboat Key, Annamarie Islands. I don't know what those islands got hammered 10 days ago from the other storm.
Right.
This is just the worst possible thing that could happen to this area.
Yeah.
Anybody, so.
Yeah, it's tough. Did you guys have the warning for Helene?
What do you mean?
It didn't feel like remember watching the news. And okay. I heard a storm was coming, but I didn't think it was going to be as devastating. Yeah. You know, 230-something people dead, more haven't even been found. They're still digging out. It's, you know, a real catastrophe.
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing the warnings and thinking this is going to be bad. This one, they got the warnings right. They got everybody out.
The days.
Yeah.
So warning is... Warning is how someone's going to take it, right? Some people are going to panic, freak out, whatever the case might be. Some people are going to go above and beyond. Some people are going to do nothing. I mean, there's people in this neighborhood that are rentals. Nobody came and put hurricane shutters up. Their house survived. No damage. Nothing went through their windows. So I put all the, you know, insurance, if they come out here and they see you didn't put hurricane shutters up, forget about it. They're not going to even want to really talk to you. So I, again, on the exercise of caution, I tell everyone down here, they pay, you know, these people putting storm shutters up, you know, 400, whatever it is. And everyone's complaining about it. I says, well, think about if you're up north and you have to pay for snow removal. I was like, you're going to have to pay for some type of storm prep. But right. So your point is, I think what got people right now is the flooding, is the rain. I mean, that, and I mean, from Fort Myers all the way up the coast to the Panhandle, where that storm, that hurricane traveled completely, like, just, what was it, 100 miles off the coast? And the storm surge on that last one really killed people. I mean, my brother was up in Tampa Bay in Apollo Beach, which is almost parallel with St. Pete. And he got a foot and a half of water in his house. That whole community, again, it's near the water, near the coast. They've gotten water. They've never gotten a foot, a half of water in the house. That storm surge hit, the high tide, devastation. Complete, you know, you got people, that's it. You lost pretty much everything. And that went all the way up the coast. I mean, Annamarie Island, if you guys know, you know, Longboat, I mean, it's a beautiful strip from Clearwater, St. Pete, Annamarie Island, Longboat, Siesta Key. That is one just beautiful stretch of beaches. The beach was on people's, in their yards. I saw a picture of a pool heater completely surrounded by sand up to a foot to the top. So, I mean, that, and they couldn't even, they weren't even allowed. First off, it's 40, I think I've heard 45 day, no rentals. So that's a big, you know, people come down here to travel. I know a lot of people from Connecticut go down to Annamarie Island. And so what do? You have an Airbnb, nothing. You can't even go on there. They're only letting people that have ID that live on the island go there because they're digging out with it. The beach just basically took over the island. Yeah. And that they were still digging out and that piling up garbage. And now you throw this thing on there. And that was the other issue, is that there was not enough time to clean up from this storm.
Right.
So you have already had all this stuff out there. Piles of garbage out there that they couldn't even come pick up yet.
I don't really see any reports of that becoming a problem where that was like projectiles and created death or mass destruction.
Yeah.
Not as bad as people feared.
Well, yet, you know, it's still, you know, we're the morning after. You have no idea what just, I mean, I don't know if you saw the videos I said. I mean, my neighbor's fence is completely blown off. I mean, I just took a video of trees completely snapped off the top of it. So, you know, when you got closer to the coastline where that more higher power wind or stronger wind came, I'm sure there's going to be, you know, right, issues of projectiles. But Yeah, no, it got, I mean, I have no idea wind gust, but I mean, it was definitely, we probably definitely hit 100 mile an hour wind gust for sure. But yeah, but like you said, that storm that came up there, those people in the Carolinas, they got 30 inches of rain in 20 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
30 inches.
We had 16 inches in 12 hours in a section of Connecticut, and it just wreaked havoc and devastation.
Yep.
Right, what was the Ansonia Derby over there?
Yeah, it was Oxford, Southbury, Newtown, Naugatuck, Seymour, and the surrounding areas.
Valley.
So think about what just happened there. It's the same thing that happened to Carolinas, the same thing that happened to us at the beginning of the month. We got 18 inches of rain in 20 hours. That's the stuff that I feel that people don't take the warning seriously, and it's the flash flooding. When you hear, even myself, when you hear flash flooding, like, oh, yeah, what's flash flooding? It's not a big deal. Oh, it is. When you get 16 inches of rain in 12 hours, you now have streams that are now rivers. The infrastructure can't handle this, and it's literally blowing through roads and bridges and washing people away. I mean, look at, I saw the videos. You got cars getting lifted up and swept away.
Yeah.
I think the warning, and that's the warning that you're not going to be able to be prepared for. Same thing, Connecticut gets tornadoes. You know, your phone's going off, tornado alert, take shelter. I mean, how many people go underneath their desk or go find a room inside their closet or
I did not. No.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's all of a sudden, what does it mean, tornado? It's not going to happen to me. And that's, I think, the mentality. It's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me until it happens to you.
My point being is I think what happened, with Helene really got everyone paying attention to warnings. And thankfully, people listened and evacuated.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think we're looking at a lower casualty on this storm than we would have.
Yep. Yeah. I hope so. Yep.
I agree. I 100%. I think it was definitely fresh in people's minds. I mean, people are still digging out from this. So that's what they were saying. I mean, some of these people just got their house dried out.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, geez, we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see is Helene last week, what was it, 10, 11 days ago?
Right.
You had the storm surge that was really a problem. I mean, Tampa General, the hospital over there, they said they spent almost $1 million on this this water barrier that basically...
It's cool looking.
It is. And it's amazing how that worked. And it worked, right? You had, what was it, 8, 10 feet of water. I mean, maybe not 10, but you had 8 feet of water, 7 feet of water sitting on the other side of that wall. And they were able to, maintain the operation. They kept the water out. But, I have a friend up in Tampa that has an auto shop, had 6 feet of water in their shop.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Well, so, we got to roll.
The other thing,
absolutely. But thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. Glad it sounds like you are okay.
Yeah. That's an important thing.
Yeah. I'm like I said, I was prepared. I put the storm shutters up. I filled up. I started getting gasoline. I usually get in the start of the season. I have five gallon gas cans. I usually fill up June 1. I put fuel stabilizer in there. I keep four of them in my garage.
There you go.
I'm not sitting out there running out, trying to scramble for gas. I watched people at Lowe's yesterday. I bought yesterday? Tarps. When the stores are open, I was like, listen, you know what's going to come? People are flooding the stores to buy generators. I bought tarps. Guess what's probably going up my roof if I have Mr. Shingles?
Right. Exactly.
So again, you want to be prepared. You know what that looks like. You know, everyone has a different take on it, but you know what? At the end of the day, hopefully everybody comes together, helps out. That'll be the next story: the
wave of dirt bags that go down there taking deposits
the
for
vultures,
roofs and stuff.
Yep.
So, Roman, I got to go. Glad
absolutely.
You're okay.
Yes.
Thanks for checking in. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation on the show now. Lots of things to talk about. If you want to ask him a concert question, you could call or text 203-882-9757. Jimmy, I'd just like to ask you about the Mets. You're a Yankee fan, right?
I am a Yankee fan. Yes, I am.
Okay.
But I used to be a Mets fan, but now I'm a Yankee fan.
Right. Really? What happened?
Well, something did actually happen. Something did
happen. The Mets happened.
Well, it was the old owner, Joan Payson, in 1977, and when they traded Tom Seaver and Dave Kingman in one day. I said, what the hell am I rooting for this damn team for? They traded the best pitcher and the best home run hitter in one day, and I decided that day to stop being a Mets fan and become a Yankee fan.
There you go.
Wow.
Yep.
I screwed them. Like, they felt it. This little guy in Connecticut said, screw you.
That's it.
Change the whole world.
Chain of force.
What a game. Can I play you some audio?
I
play?
I love it. I was watching.
The radio announcer. This is the Mets radio announcer.
Pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night, and Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
That's
Howie Rose, baby.
That's a big breath of air.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Let's do the Spanish announcer.
Viene Esteve, lanzamiento, saca batazo, peligroso, profundo para el central, la pelota, está tomando altura, de locura en el City Field, recogiendo porque los Mets, Paquito Lindor, con las bases llenas.
Like watching the game with mom.
You know, I don't know what he said, but I'm guessing he's a Met fan.
Yeah.
He sounds pretty psyched about it.
Right. My mom was watching last night. The chance are she did the same thing.
And then can we play the Philly announcer?
2-1. Here's the pitch. Swung on. Belted. Up the alley. Right center. And that ball is gone.
Silence.
Right. Francisco Lindor.
The pain. He's right. Looking for scissors right now.
Just take out a razor.
I thought they'd win the National League pennant, so that was pretty embarrassing for the Phillies.
Yeah, they had a great team throughout the regular season.
Oh, well, oopsie.
Yeah, you know, we're looking at what could potentially be a Yankee Met
Subway Series.
That would be
Subway
amazing. Series.
It's in play.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yankees got to play better. The Mets look clearly like the better team right now.
How did your Florida house make out, Jimmy?
I haven't heard bad news yet, so I think I'm okay. I'm on the East Coast, not on the West Coast.
Oh,
so
good.
I think I'm okay.
We were talking about storm food yesterday on the show, and this great debate started between...
Important debate.
Dinty Moore beef stew
right.
In the can. Or Spam.
Emergency meat.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Okay. Emergency meat that you can have sitting there.
I'd be shocked if you've tried either one of these in your life. Have you ever tried either one?
I think Jimmy has.
I've never tried either one, although I am a big beef stew fan. But I don't know what Dinty Moore's beef stew is, in all honesty. I don't know what that is. Is that really beef?
I got to tell you, if you had to make a choice right now, just looking at Spam and Dinty Moore beef stew, you would go with the beef stew.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Yeah,
I don't know. Spam's awfully tasty.
What's the poorest you've been in your life? College years? Just when you're starting out with?
No. In 19, you know, everybody gets their Social Security statement once a year in the mail.
Oh, yeah, and it shows you what you made each year.
It shows you what you made and what you paid Social Security.
Mine said, ha-ha.
There were 2 years I paid no Social Security, which meant I made no money.
Wow.
That was 1976 and 1977.
Oh.
I was flat broke.
Came with a sad face.
That was...
sad face in a candy bar.
In my memory is I was going to a lot of cross-country concerts.
Oh,
Jimmy
yeah.
Koplik, Shelley Finkel. You lost money those years?
I didn't make any money those years. I had no income, and I used credit cards back then to borrow money to keep my business going.
Good thing.
Okay, what were you eating? What was like your poor meal then? What would you do going to the store?
Oh, macaroni and cheese.
Oh, all right. That's
solid
good.
Option.
Miles of macaroni and cheese.
Again, easy to customize and riff on, too.
For Sunday, put some hot dogs in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very good. Macaroni and cheese, hot dogs in the macaroni and cheese. Very good. I liked it.
Yeah. That's dude food right there. Yeah.
Well, it becomes comfort food.
It's dude food.
You could have that right now. As rich as you are, you could order anything at any restaurant, but you would have that now and be like, I'm good with this.
Gourmet hot dogs.
I do.
Yeah. With brie cheese.
I live alone.
When's the last time you had macaroni and cheese with hot dogs in it?
Well, not with the hot dogs, but last night I had a macaroni and cheese for dinner.
You're the best, Jimmy.
You are the best.
I'm a total meat and potatoes guy. I love eating backstage lunch because it's always burgers and fries and hot dogs and crap like that.
Yeah.
And I live alone, so I don't cook, so I have to buy everything, and I just heat it up and just that's it, like the old TV dinners.
Yeah.
I go to Trader Joe's and buy all those dinners and just...
Oh, wow. Those are great.
Minutes, yeah.
See, mac and cheese, they tell you how to make it, and it's perfect. It's foolproof.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, every step... You know,
boil water, yep. You drain the water, you put the cheese in and you stir. How difficult?
You need the half a cup of milk, the family size.
That's too hard. No, I don't even do that.
Half a cup of milk, yeah.
No, I don't even do that. I punch holes in the cellophane on top.
Oh.
I put it in the microwave and let it cook for 5 minutes and that's it.
Awesome. Enjoy, throw box away.
Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation on the show right now. So any concerts we should talk about, Jimmy?
Let's see. Well, we do close up the amp this Saturday with Brett Young, who's a country artist. So that's our last Bridgeport show. So we're eagerly booking next year already.
Cool.
Oh, really?
Can't wait for next year.
Anything exciting?
I knew I shouldn't have said anything.
Why? Why?
Yeah, look, we had 50 shows there this past year.
50?
Wow.
Over 50. 51, I think it ended.
Busy.
So, you know, Howard, of course, says, I want 52 next year. So
nice.
We're going to butt off to make Howard happy because we love Howard. So, but, you know, it's a long road, but it's amazing how early we book now. I mean, we already have about 8 or 10 shows completely confirmed for next year at the Amp.
Is there anything of those 8 and 10, anything that we haven't had at the Amp yet or haven't been in Connecticut for a while?
Well, we thought we were going to get REO Styx back because they were the first show that played there.
Right.
So I had spoken to both managers who are great friends of mine. One of them I actually went to college with, the REO manager. And we were going to have a big fifth season reunion concert. And then REO broke up.
Yeah. Right.
So now we got to figure out what to do. We had this whole thing planned and all this stuff done, and we're going to invite you guys because you guys opened up the amphitheater and have you guys reintroduce them again on stage like you did back in 2021. And now we got to figure out something new.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Any big names like, you know, James Taylor's in Oh Wow. Neil Young was Holy Cow. The Foo Fighters.
Well, comedians.
We certainly hope to get James Taylor back. That's for sure. He's been there 2 years in a row and loves the amp. So
awesome.
We certainly hope to get him back. That I would think is a pretty good guess that we're going to do that. We're going to try to get Toto down there.
Oh.
We've never really brought down there. Cool. Chicago by themselves. But I think the first show we're going to announce will end up being the Goo Goo Dolls, I think, will come back. They were one of the hits of Soundside this year. And I called up the agent afterwards and said, I wasn't at Soundside, but from what I hear, they went over great. So I asked if we can bring them back in. So we held a date, and I hope that's the first show we put on sale next year.
Nice. Oh, and cool. Then any talk about the Hartford XL Center? Will you be involved in that? Any bands being discussed to play there?
I am very involved in trying to help out the XL Center reinvigorate itself once everything is being done. I actually have a meeting with the mayor next week because he wants to talk to me about it. But nothing planned at this point. We are very married to Mohegan Sun.
Gotcha.
But that doesn't mean we won't bring shows into the
right,
of course,
Excel Center. But we really are married to Mohegan Sun.
Somebody told me they heard Billy Joel is going to go on tour with, is it Stevie Nicks and Sting?
Yes, I actually, not at Mohegan Sun, but we have Billy Joel and Sting up in Syracuse. I went to it when I couldn't be on two Thursdays ago. That was because I was up in Syracuse doing a press conference for a Billy Joel Sting show that we have up in what was once called the Carrier Dome.
Wow.
It's now called the JMA Wireless Dome because they gave so much money they actually air conditioned it finally.
Nice.
Carrier didn't give enough money to air condition it.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, I don't know if I ever said the story, but the first show I ever booked there was back in 1992. I booked two shows of Genesis in there, June 5 and 6. And they both sold out. Genesis was at the top of their game in 92. And I walk into the Carrier Dome, and the road manager comes, who's a good friend of mine, says to me, Mr. Collins would like to see you. I said, oh, really? Phil Collins wants to see me. That's great. I've never met him before. This will be nice. Mm-hmm. So I walk in feeling great. That's two sold-out shows. And I walk up to Phil, Jimmy Coppola. He goes, you're the promoter? I go, yeah. And I'm expecting him to pat me on the back and goes, why'd you put me into this venue? I said, because it's giant. It's 35,000 seats tonight. You sold 70,000 tickets. You're making a fortune. It's going to be two great nights. He goes, it's hot as hell outside, and it's hot as hell in here. I go, what are you talking about? It's the Carrier Dome. And he goes, it's not effing air conditioned.
Oh,
No jacket required.
Right,
oh,
exactly right.
No jacket required.
Must have been a misunderstanding.
So I'm picturing his face on the cover of No Jacket Required. Right. It's all red and he's sweaty.
He's going to grab a cab.
Well, I was really castigated by Phil Collins. It was not the good first meeting that I was hoping to have with Phil Collins.
All right, let's go right to Angela, who has a question for Jimmy Coplick. Angela?
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Chad, Biggie, Jay. How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Great. I'm wondering about the Foo Fighters. Any chance we can get them back to the amphitheater? Because they were great.
I think they're taking a, what do we call it? A
sabbatical?
Leave of absence. I don't think they're going to be touring anytime soon. I think Dave's trying to get his life back together.
Right.
Very disappointing, and I hope all the best for him.
Although,
the Goo Fighters.
I have a feeling, and Jimmy, tell me what you think on this, that because he had all of his fans in Connecticut buy tickets and then wasn't able to make it, the chances of leveraging that to have them play at the Amp is better than if they played at Soundside.
Right.
I think you're absolutely right.
He's all about the fans.
Yes,
and
he
now
is.
He has a state full of disappointed fans. And him coming here now seems like when they hit the road, it could be among their first stops.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think, look, I shouldn't say this, but many rock and roll stars play around. And he was one of them. And because his image was so clean, I think it affected him more than most. And I think that I hope the Foo Fighters will get back together, and I do think they owe the fans of Connecticut something. So, and I'll certainly use that line. That's for sure.
Yeah, great.
He's ready to tell his speak.
Love to see him.
All right, thank you, Angela.
Have a good one.
You too, Mary East Hartford.
Good morning to me and everyone else. Two morning. Questions. Will we maybe see Fish here in Connecticut in 2025? And is Dead and Company with John Mayer done, or will we maybe see them again someday?
Did you say the Peach Fest?
Fish.
Fish. I'm hoping for Fish to play Mohegan Sun as they do every year, sometime in 25. They love the venue. So I expect you'll see them next year. If not indoors, they'll play Xfinity Outdoors. And I believe, and this is just my own personal feeling, that Dead & Company loved Vegas so much and the Sphere. I think they'll go back to the Sphere. I don't think you'll see them on the road. It really is tough for artists that age, putting John Mayer on the side. But when you're talking about Mickey Hart and Bobby Weir, to really do a full band tour, you know, they're in their mid to upper 70s now. And I think sitting down in Vegas is really what you'll end up seeing them do. Although I have no inside information, I think it went over so well they would do it again.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. You know, just based on the little clips I've seen of U2, Dead & Company, and the Eagles, Dead & Company had the graphics down.
Yeah.
Like that was the show.
Still sitting going, whoa.
Right.
Yes, and that's because most of the audience was tripping. So
right, some are still sitting there.
I've heard people say, "Don't go in there under the influence because it'll be too much for you to handle."
Right?
Would you agree with that, Jimmy? You were there.
I was there for U2, and I was there one of the weekends that Dead played there. So I saw the fans go in, I saw the fans go out, and their eyeballs were spinning when they came out. So. I think you're right.
Brandon from Stratford wants to know, will The Cure be touring again?
Yes, you'll see The Cure sometime next year, and we're hoping for a Mohegan Sun play.
Jane's Addiction's done, right?
Oh, I think they're... I don't want to say they're done, but I think the
done
chance
with Perry
of them getting back together is slim.
Done with Perry Farrell?
Skinny was the lead singer.
Yeah, you know what? Money talks.
No.
And every time you think a band's done, and then all of a sudden the greatest of enemies, and I think of Joe Perry and Steven Tyler.
Right. Oasis.
Yeah, there's the
Oasis.
Best example.
Right. Yeah.
Oasis.
The Eagles.
Right? So that's the best example. The Eagles, you know, the Hell Freezes Over tour. Because they had that famous line, the Eagles will get together when hell freezes over, and what happened? They got back together.
Yep, froze over.
The hell freezes over.
Yeah, like Sabbath, even. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. It's just money talks.
What bands? Because there's you guys at Live Nation, and you throughout your history have had this, love of music and getting bands back together. Is there some dream tour that you have in your mind, or that Live Nation's working on?
Well, I'm not in the touring division for Live Nation, so I don't really know. In fact, Oasis is a Live Nation tour. I had no idea they were putting them together, although last year when we had Noel Gallagher up in Saratoga and we had a bomb threat and we had to clear the building, and we ended up paying Noel in full. So I called up my touring division. I said, the guy didn't play, and it was a bomb threat. Why did you pay the guy? I mean, he probably had insurance. And the answer was, because if Oasis ever gets back together, we want to be first in line. Yeah. So my comment was, they're never getting back together. So I don't even know why you have me on this radio show.
It was his brother called in.
So they must have had an inkling of the possibility of Oasis getting back together. And then I said, oh, by the way, they're not that big in the States. They were always big overseas. And, of course, they sell out two MetLife stadiums right away, so... So the buzz on them was really big.
That's
Last time they played Connecticut, by the way, they played Tuxedo Junction in Danbury to 600 people.
Wow.
Okay.
Back in 1995.
Yes. Yeah. No, what we want is what we can't have. And we are starting to run thin on these shows that have some meaning to them. And because now they're back together, it's like all of a sudden there's this added value because we couldn't have it before.
Right now we got it.
Yeah, you're right. It's like that in life.
Yeah. And we're running out of these great bands. So now all of a sudden Oasis sells out two nights in a row.
Even their surprise.
Stadiums.
Yes. Stadium. Right.
When they were hot, they weren't playing stadiums.
Right.
Like, what's this place?
I feel like part of it is you want to see the fight. Like, you almost want to be there.
Right.
If there is an onstage meltdown between the brothers, you want to be like, yeah, I was at that one.
Yep.
Well, I could tell you, I went to Bob Dylan at Toads because I missed the Stones at Toads, and I wanted to be part of some kind of magic at Toads.
History.
And I wasn't there to see a fight, and I wasn't there to see Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh, someone, a legendary rocker's at Toads.
Right,
I want to be here for that night.
Yes.
You know?
And little did we know that the show would be legendary.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like 6 hours, something like that?
It was long.
Yes, it was six. It started at eight, ended at two, four sets, something like 60 songs.
Right.
Even covered a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah, Bob said it's jazz in the building. Lock the doors.
Yeah. I left early. I was
who's that sneaking at my show?
Sam T came in the next day. He's like, Chaz, wasn't that amazing? I'm like, what? He's like, oh, man, he played for 6 hours. I think it was even longer than that. And I was like, really?
That's a lot of Bob
Dylan. Like, yeah, it was great. I'm like, I left after three.
Weren't you covered day one and on?
Yeah, he did like four different together. Sets.
I left after it was four sets, and after the second set, I go downstairs and I go, great show. He goes, it's not over yet.
Go,
what? I went up to my wife and my two kids that were there, and I said, he said it's not over yet. And my wife goes, what does that mean? I said, it means we're getting out of here.
Pull the car up, we're out of here.
Yeah, he ended set two with All Along the Watchtower. You feel like, okay, we're good, we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice job.
I heard them all.
Yeah. What was his last song?
Of set four?
Yeah.
Where's Chaz?
Like a Rolling Stone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was. Damn, we missed that chance.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah.
Then you said, where's Jimmy? Randy, good.
Wow, Jimmy paid me in the middle of the show. He normally doesn't do that. Where is he? I'd like to thank him.
I was home sleeping then.
He's in bed.
Todd and Bethany has a good question for Jimmy, so we want to put him on the air right now. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, man. How you doing, guys?
Hey, good.
Two quick questions and a comment. I'm wondering about Shinedown. And then, Jimmy, I know we talked a few months ago about Linkin Park replacing, you know, the lead Chester with a girl. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you've heard the new song from them, but it's actually pretty friggin' amazing.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she has really pulled the stops out. I'm very impressed. But yeah, I got a question. You know, when we heard they were coming around, Barclays Center, I believe it was, I went on and like cheap seats are like $423. And that's $2,000 for my wife and my kids, you know, to go, not counting getting there and stuff. And then I heard Billy Joel was coming and I'm like, oh, awesome. He's out of the residency, maybe decent prices and tickets from the thousands. And I don't know, the last few years we've been seeing a lot of concerts and it seems like the concerts have just exploded in price. Is this a trend going forward, man? Are we back to these, you know, $300 concert tickets?
Can I take a little bit of this?
Sure.
Everything has gone up.
Yes.
I know.
Every single thing.
Nothing's cheap.
Has gone up.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anytime you see tickets in the thousands, it's not the promoter or the artist. It's scalpers that are doing that.
Yeah.
We don't do that. It's too expensive. We know people won't be in the house if we do that. The Billy Joel top prize at Mohegan Sun was $459 to $159.
Be the family at home.
In fact, there were some seats that were only $99 for Billy Joel.
Okay. That's funny because all I heard was they're $1,000 a ticket. Yeah. And I believed it because, you know, I heard it from multiple people.
Yeah.
I never looked.
Right.
Those are what they call now resale tickets. It's legal in Connecticut, so there's nothing we can do about it. And the ticket brokers, as they're called now, because scalpers is an old 20th century term, they have the ability to use bots, which is a software system that beats the regular ticket buyers, so they buy a lot of tickets up.
Damn.
Yikes.
Listen, I'm going to let you guys go, but real quick.
Gee, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Shinedown, and is Linkin Park going to be doing a full tour?
I think Linkin Park will do a full tour next year. I'm pretty sure of that. And I would think they'll play Xfinity in Hartford. And Shinedown, I am hoping we'll have at Mohegan Sun sometime in March or April.
They could come here every year.
Yeah,
and
they're awesome.
They have so many fans here.
Great people. Dedicated following.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, man. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any tickets or passes or whatever memberships available for Friends of Jimmy?
Yeah, you can go to friendsofjimmy.com. It's open for enjoyment. We have about 100 slots left. That's about it. We give everybody who joined last year first shot. That ended yesterday. So anybody can go on to friendsofjimmy.com, get access to all our tickets, usually 8 per show. And then you get about 30 shows that you get comps to also.
And so the Billy Joel tickets would have been available to you and at... You know, at the regular price.
Wow. Okay.
Very good. All right, Friends of Jimmy. All right, Jimmy Koplik, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
Okay.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.